Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. Thursday. Rob, that's me. Big Sook, he's right over there.
Hey.
Sada.
Sada indeed.
7 pounds lighter. Coming up. We've got some college football talk. We've got some transfer news. We've also got one AD who he is saying that there will be not only football in the fall, but non-restricted crowds.
I do enjoy the ruminations.
He's all about it.
Of all these different athletic directors and just conference commissioners. Just plowing ahead.
Hey, Mike, I got something for you, buddy. Do you follow Ken Rosenthal on the tweets?
I do not think I follow Ken Rosenthal.
Say that fast 5 times.
Should I follow Ken Rosenthal?
If you like baseball, he's good. He's actually very good. He was the one who tweeted that MLB Network is starting 64 consecutive hours of Derek Jeter programming.
Oh, my God. Why?
Well,
just that's
Jeetsy, baby.
By the way, Ken rocks a nice little bow tie on his Twitter.
Yeah, he does those for charity. He's always in bow ties.
Also, that is way too many hours straight of Derek Jeter.
And you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, really?
Well, what else?
64 straight hours.
64. So
are they just running game after game after game, or is there?
Well, at 6 a.m. starts tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Bob Costas looks back on legendary moments. Puke. And then
that's probably the best thing of all of them, because at least it's in a nice little succinct show.
Well, I do love Bob Costas. And then it says coverage includes 13 signature games. God.
So only 13 games.
So again, you're going to be watching a game and having no idea why it's on.
No.
Why is this game on?
It's Derek Jeter. And here's the thing about watching baseball. Over the course of that 3.5 hour game, Derek Jeter is on the screen.
Right.
10 minutes? Like, if you're watching an NBA game, you're like watching Jordan. He's out there for 40 plus minutes. There's Michael Jordan. Baseball is slightly different. That seems painfully long. For Derek Jeter fans.
I'm going to get in the weeds here, Mike, but what are the top Derek Jeter moments? Is it the dive over in the third base foul line?
The backhand flip.
Yeah, that was against the Red Sox in the playoffs. You have the flip play against the A's in the playoffs. You got the Mr. November home run.
Yeah.
That's all the same year, actually, 2001.
That was all the same year?
Yep. I think you're probably going to get his final game because he had a walk-off hit in his final game as a Yankee.
Well, and the 3,000th hit was a home run.
Yep, that was a home run.
That HBO piece they did on him was pretty good. They did like a 24-7 leading up to the 3,000th
hit. Is he a good dude? Derek Jeter?
I think for the, as good as you can be, good is always a subjective term. I mean, you get a guy that's an athlete like that, there's some entitlement, and I'm sure, you know, obviously the womanizing and all that, but...
Well, he was always single. Who cares?
Yeah, for the most part, I don't think a lot of people have bad things to say about Derek Jeter. For a guy of his stature, yeah, I'm going to say that he probably checks the boxes of a good guy.
Yeah, he was smart not to get married. I mean, yeah. I know he's married now, but...
Well, his wife, you know...
I would have married her, too.
Exactly.
I had the chance. I just was...
Yeah, you're like Hannah...
I didn't... Yeah.
Hannah Rop. You know.
I didn't really realize yeah. what I had.
Boy, his wife is... It's something else.
Hannah Davis?
Hannah Davis. Now Hannah Jeter, but yeah. Former Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model, Hannah Davis.
All right.
It's up. And it's
good. Yeah, very good. All right. The club is coming up, too. Seven things that soon could disappear forever. But right now, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Caitlin Kiffin.
What?
Oh, the dog.
You're so cute, Jason.
What, bud?
He is a five-star douche magoo.
Number five.
Well, the PGA Tour has a revamped schedule that includes the John Deere Classic at Deer Run in Illinois as its fifth event. But today they canceled that event.
So in a stunning development, sports is back unless it's not.
Yes.
And even though they scheduled something, it doesn't mean that it's going to go on that day unless it does.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So John Deere... said if they don't have fans, then it's essentially a TV show, and that's not what they want to be about. So they said they'd rather give the money to their community. So yeah. they're basically pulling their sponsorship. So the tournament's like, all right, well.
Can't play. We're not going to pay to put this on.
Also, the big revenue pro-am costs them. By not having that pro-am, that'll cost them about $1 million. And then, of course, they have no corporate hospitality. They say all their partners don't want to come. And then no concessions. So they're like, yeah, we're not giving you money. So the tour is working on contingency plans to fill the gap in the schedule, which was slated to be July 9th through 12th.
Well, this is one of those things that's like no one talks about. But yeah, even when sports comes back, what Number happens four. To all the corporate or sponsorships? I mean, who knows what any of this looks like?
Boston Marathon. I can't run it this year.
I know. Well, I was scheduled to run the marathon on St. Paddy's Day, and then I found out that it wasn't a marathon, the Shamrock Run. It was only a half marathon, so I was going to run that just for S's and giggles, but then that got canceled, and so I was just like, you know what? Not doing it.
So you think there's somebody who lines up for that thing and is like, oh, wait, this is not 26.2 miles? What the hell?
13 isn't even worth my time. I do that in my sleep.
Yeah, you're going to have to run a different 26.2 miles because the Boston Marathon has been canceled for the first time in 124 years.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be run April 20th, and they moved it to September 14th.
Now there's like, yeah.
But now they're like, screw
it. So once again, it's rescheduled unless it's not rescheduled, and then it's canceled unless they bring it back. But as of right now,
they're not going to run
it. It's canceled. The best thing that's happened during this as far as athletics and running go is the bro that ran the marathon in his driveway.
Yeah. I thought it was his backyard.
No, I think it was just his driveway.
Love that.
He just like he had the little Nike tracker, you know, that shows where you run.
Yeah.
And he just measured it out and he ran back and forth in his driveway.
Good on him.
Is it really?
Well, yeah. Staying in shape, you know. It's the best you can do. What do you want him to do?
Would that be easier or harder than running a traditional marathon?
Probably harder.
All the starting and stopping?
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. That would suck. NFL owners say no to the 4th and 15 onside kick alternative put forth by the Eagles.
Yeah, we all thought that was going to be a done deal.
What's their problem?
I don't know. They just said they want to table it and they want to further, what did they say, like further discussion.
Further discussion. All right. Well, that was the one where instead of an onside kick, you could get 4th and 15 on your own 25, and if you get a first down, you keep possession. They did vote in favor of killing the Belichick loophole of continuous dead ball fouls to run the clock.
Yeah.
Now the clock will start at the snap instead of when the official sets the ball down after a penalty, but only in the fourth quarter and overtime.
The only two that anyone cared about were the sky judge and the onside thing, and neither one of those got pushed through. So the only thing I can see about the onside kick is the fact that it would eliminate the surprise onside kick. That'd be the only That'd be the only thing, but I don't know why you couldn't do that just in the confines of a regular game when you're kicking off.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott gives the go-ahead for fans in his state to return to outdoor sporting venues.
With fans.
Albeit at 25% capacity. This is effective tomorrow. Any team wanting to hold a sporting event would have to apply to the state and receive approval. But this means the Cowboys, the Texans, the Rangers, the Astros could all host games with fans in 2020. Abbott also said he's optimistic the college football season will be on time and fans will be able to attend games throughout Texas. One other college football note, there's a new home for former USC quarterback JT Daniels. He is transferring to Georgia.
In the case of like the Longhorns or the Cowboys, who only 25% capacity, who gets those tickets?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably season ticket holders, right? Well,
there's more season ticket holders than 25% capacity.
The ones who give more money. The ones who paid the most. The ones with the best seats. The richest ones.
The richy riches. And by the way, I have not seen one gathering event where any sort of practical social distancing or safety measures have been implemented. Not one.
I've seen one. I'll tell you about it later. They had a concert. They had a live music concert.
And it went smooth?
Well, there were like 7 people there.
Oh. Because everything I've seen with any sort of crowd, every photo you see, you're like, yeah, everyone doesn't give a rip.
I'll tell you about that concert coming up here. But number one is, it is the players' turn to present their economic proposal to start the MLB season. Reports are that they will not concede any more salary. Now, their plan calls for a more than 100-game season. And they want the guaranteed, fully prorated salaries. That's their thing. So Max Scherzer of the Nats says there's no reason to engage the owners if they want players to take more pay cuts beyond just the prorated salaries.
And I saw that today I was reading that there may be a little bit of a ticking clock on this because there's 60% of the TV revenue is tied to Major League Baseball's postseason. And I guess there's a fear that if you push this thing back further and further and further, you know, there's all that talk that you could have a second wave when the flu season hits towards the end of the year. And they said that would be the ultimate killer, is that if you brought this thing back, you pushed it too late, and then all of a sudden the postseason was affected by a second wave. So there is some push to try to get this thing moving as fast as possible.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Go to @CoorsLight on Twitter and tell them who could use a 6-pack, and Coors Light will buy them one. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Yeah, I'll tell you about the first socially distant concert, and then we got some college football quarterback news.
Was it Bryan Adams?
No, it was Travis McCreedy.
I don't know who that is. And I only said Bryan Adams because he got in trouble on Twitter for...
What'd he say?
He was yelling and screaming about the Chinese and...
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
What did he say?
This was a while back. Well, his tour got canceled, and he was pissed about it.
I saw him last year.
Yeah, he was all kinds of pissed off.
He was great.
Yeah, well, he's not happy. So he said something about, I'll find it for you. He said something about the Chinese and, you know, the virus. And
the weirdest thing about the Bryan Adams show was he had a big screen that played just continuous video of him walking through a mall.
What?
Yeah. That was his background.
Like while Heaven was playing?
Yeah, like while he was
all
playing.
All the songs.
Most of the songs. It wasn't the whole show, but yeah.
Why?
That's kind of what we asked, but we didn't get a chance to talk to him, so. Huh. I don't know.
And it wasn't like...
He was like high-fiving people.
It wasn't like in tune to the...
It was just to show that he's an everyman. Like, he walks all the way through a mall, and I think he was lip-syncing all his songs.
Yeah.
And somebody's walking behind him, filming him, and nobody, like, really stops him. I think it was to show that, hey...
He's just like you?
Yeah, and then he gets in an Uber and drives off.
He's lip-syncing even though you're looking at his back?
No, he was turned around, you know, like, kind of doing the... Looking back, you know, over the shoulder, and then walking sideways and walking backwards, you know, and belting it out. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen at a show.
So this was on May 20th. He said tonight was supposed to be the beginning of a bunch of gigs at the Royal Albert Hall, but thanks to some effing, he spelled it out, bad eating, wet market, animal selling, virus greedy bastard.
Oh.
Virus making greedy bastards. The whole world is now on hold.
All right. That's straight from the heart.
Yeah. He took some flack. He took some flack for that.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian.
All right.
Yeah. Where do you go from there, huh?
I don't know. I was trying to come up with one, but I couldn't. Do you think that cut China like a knife? I got my first
I love this song. This is
dude,
great.
He's great. Listen, I know he's cheesy. I get that.
He's rough around the edges, apparently.
I got tickets from our GM, Kim, who gave me massive quantities of crap for wanting Bryan Adams tickets. But I don't care. He's good.
Yes.
He's good.
Yes.
And I tell you what, he sat down and he belted something out on the piano that was really good, too. He's a good musician.
I got nothing. I can't deny.
Good. I'm glad you agree with that.
The greatness or the very goodness of Bryan Adams. Go Canada.
The adequateness of Bryan Adams.
He's better than adequate.
He's better than adequate, Mike.
I'm stopping
he is a
short
big deal.
Of greatness, but I'm saying very, very
good.
This goodness.
Is a great song.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And hey, you don't think he's any good. Go watch his, way back in the day, he did an Unplugged on MTV.
Yeah.
Go watch that, man.
Yeah, he's talented.
He's good. All right. Now we're getting sidetracked. We will be right back with Hot Sports Talk. JT Daniels is headed to Georgia and another quarterback transfer to talk about on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So I don't know who Travis McCready is either, but a couple weeks ago he played the first socially distant concert, live concert. So this was in Arkansas, Fort Smith.
Is Travis McCready, is this like one of the American Idol,
I don't know.
I thought he might be an American Idol guy.
I feel like his name sounds like he's a country artist.
He is a country artist, it looks like, but I've never heard of him.
Well,
that's Scotty McQueary is the guy I'm talking about. He was one of the American Idol douches.
So Travis McCready of Bishop Gunn. I don't know what that is. Maybe his band.
Yeah, it looks like some sort of, like I said, country rock sort of thing. Alabama.
So I guess he and the venue were fighting back and forth about it because you were talking about that yesterday about how the bands don't want to cancel.
Yeah, because if
and then the venue doesn't want to cancel.
Yeah, if you've got something on the books, I was talking to my buddy about this, that there is language in the contract that whoever cancels is on the hook for, you know, for some sort of money. So if the artist cancels, they have to give back the money they got. And if the venue cancels, the person gets to keep it. So it's a game of chicken, which is why you never hear anything's been canceled that's just been postponed. Like our golf tournament is postponed, even though it's not going to be held this year. So that would mean it's canceled.
So I don't know. He was fighting with the venue anyway in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And after all the hullabaloo, he did his show with something called fan pods.
Okay.
So he performed in front of a tepid crowd with fan pods. All fans wore masks and had their temperatures taken upon entry to the venue, which had a capacity of 229 people. Bathrooms were limited to 10 people at a time. And that's all this story says, but there are images, and it looks like maybe there are 7 people watching his show.
Well, to be fair, let me ask the question. Under normal circumstances, how many people are going to see Travis McCready?
Yeah, I don't know. But, well, he's playing a 229-seat venue.
Yeah.
Put it that way. But the fan pods means that if, let's say the three of us went to the show,
yeah,
they would have 3 chairs set up for our pod and then socially distanced from the 5 people who are in another group and so on. So there's like little pods of people in their group sitting, and he's playing the show up there.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, look at this.
So there was a real concert.
Why would he want...
During COVID.
Why would he want to do this?
I think maybe paycheck.
By the way, you were off on your 7. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got 10.
Oh.
10 people. Boy, that is, that's painful.
And there may have been more elsewhere in there. I don't know, but.
Yeah, just from the photo.
Very odd.
Yeah, it looks like kind of like the Star Theater sort of venue.
Yeah.
That we have over here in Portland. That's another one, too, is like, what's going to happen to those places? We have so many cool live music venues here in Portland, but.
Yeah. They're going to be the last.
They're the last thing to open. And so what do you do if you are the Crystal Ballroom and McMenamin's or the Star Theater or any of the Alberta Street Theater? What What do you have coming in? I mean, there's no money coming into those places.
Well, I think you got to pull a Georgia.
And just say, screw it.
F it. Show's on. Come on down.
Come on in. Because even after stuff opens up, they can't make money. Even if you said that those places could open up at 25% capacity, you can't make it. Those places are barely making money as it is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one because you're right. Like, even worse than sports, that's...
Music.
Yeah, because people are just so crammed together.
Yep. And again, like the art, especially some of the bigger artists, I mean, they're just, you make
mosh pits.
Yeah, you make your money off of beer sales and all that. And it's just, I don't know how those places survive.
So JT Daniels from USC is headed to Georgia. How about that?
He was a big deal. He was a 5-star kid.
Well, I was looking at the recruiting rankings, the class of 2018.
Yeah.
The top three quarterbacks were Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and JT Daniels.
One of these things is not like the other. Now, to be fair to JT Daniels,
I was going
to
say, he's pretty good. He just got hurt.
He won the job at USC as a true freshman. And
his numbers were good. And then the next year, he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then Slovis came in.
Slovis kind of took over, and that was the end of JT Daniels. I was looking here. He had 2,800 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I know the freshman year was up and down. A lot of glimpses of what could be, but was very inconsistent. But again, he was a freshman.
So Georgia already has Wake Forest transfer Jamie Newman.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know much about him. Probably not because he played at Wake Forest.
Well, he's the guy that Oregon was kicking the tires on.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I was looking at, I think it's Pro Football Focus. They said that he's the highest graded deep passer that is a returner in all of college football on throws over 20 yards.
Yeah.
Jamie Newman rates like a 96 or something.
Yeah, when he was kicking around seeing where to go, that was kind of the one where when Oregon made one of his final two or three or whatever, you might have been gone, but we were kind of doing some digging in on him because I didn't watch a lot of Wake Forest, and the numbers aren't eye-popping. Yeah, I remember he played at Wake Forest, but that was one of the things that they were talking about is he throws the deep ball so well.
Yeah, so number one highest graded deep passer returning in college football is Jamie Newman. Justin Fields is two, and Keaton Slovis is third.
Yeah. Well, but if you're JT Daniels, I mean, obviously, you lost your job because of your injury. You're not getting it back from Slovis, and so you're going somewhere else. But you got to be careful, man. You go to a place like Georgia, you're not going to be handed anything. I try to think of who was that, Tate Martell, right? The kid that was at Ohio State and made all that noise about, you know, Justin Fields coming in, and then he left and went down to Miami and lost that job. It's because you're a high recruit out of high school, JT Daniels. You go to a place like Georgia, you are going to face some serious, serious competition. And that's the danger of when you transfer and you're chasing a job. No guarantee that you're going to win it.
Yeah, they're saying that he's going to apply for immediate eligibility,
yeah,
which the NCAA has been kind of cracking down on those. So he would have, if he's granted immediate eligibility, he would have 3 years left.
Yeah.
3 years to play 3 years. If he's not granted immediate eligibility, he has to sit out next year. Then Newman, who is a grad transfer, is the starter for Georgia for this season. And then Daniels would come in and he would then compete with, I guess they've got some big stud 5-star kid by the name of Brock Vandegrift,
of course,
and I'm sure he's slated to be the guy in 21.
I'm sure he pops his collar, and you know his dad's a coach.
Boy, is that not a quarterback name?
All those sorts of things.
Quarterback name Brock Vandegrift.
Well, I was trying to think. Georgia at one point had, what did they had? They had Justin Fields,
From and Eason,
all on one roster.
Yeah,
I mean it's
crazy.
Yeah, I mean just you go to those places and. And I get that everyone wants to play big time football, but I always wonder if you're a quarterback, if there isn't a little bit of you that's like, maybe go someplace where I know I'm going to start. Maybe not as a true freshman, you go for the dream school, but after that, you're just trying to find a place that you make sure that you can be the guy. Georgia or Ohio State is the easiest place to transfer into.
All right, so JT Daniels is headed to Georgia. There's another transfer quarterback we need to talk about. And then one AD is saying, hey, fill it up. Let's play football.
Yeah, screw it.
And we'll tell you who that is and where his school is coming up next. But here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime
Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. It's 5:35. Beautiful day.
Someone said in regards to quarterback names, he works with a guy named Maverick Blackwood. Yes. I would follow Maverick Blackwood into battle. Are you kidding me?
Is that a quarterback name?
That is a great quarterback name.
Maverick Blackwood.
Are you kidding me? I'd shake in my shoes if I knew I was staring down Maverick Blackwood in the huddle.
Love it.
I never had a cool quarterback name. I had Drew Miller and Kevin Federick. Brandon Doman. What?
Yeah. Why is it that names fit? Like, what is that? The whole quarterback name thing. You see that all the time where it's like, wow, that's... It's just coincidence? Like, there's just enough names out there?
I think when you grow up with a name like Maverick Blackwood, or what was the Georgia guy's name? Do you have that in front of you?
His name was, hold on.
I think when you're given a name like that, it's just kind of a sink or swim sort of thing, right? Your parents put a target on your back, and you better live up to it. Plus, the dad's probably pretty douchey and forced his kid from the age of, like, one to learn how to throw a football.
Brock Vandegrift.
Yes. When you name your kid Brock Vandegrift, you know, that's, you've got a type A personality dad that's making that kid go out and practice.
One other bit of quarterback transfer news I saw. So JT Daniels is going to Georgia. Cam Newton's brother, who is famous. So he played at Howard.
Okay.
And
I didn't know Cam had a brother.
Yeah. Kalen Newton. He played at Howard and he was the one who led. Remember when Howard beat UNLV? This was just last year. They beat him 43-40, and it was like the biggest point spread cover ever.
I do remember that.
In other words, they were 45-point underdogs, and they beat UNLV by 3. He was the quarterback of that team.
Okay.
Kalen Newton, Cam's brother. Do you know where he's going? And by the way, he's pretty good. He played at Howard, so he was the rookie of the year for the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Then he was the offensive player of the year the next year. And in the run-up to the 2019 campaign, he was preseason player of the year.
Okay. So the kid can play. So he's transferring to a bigger...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
So is Howard not a four-year school? Or is he just... He's just moving up to take a shot at this.
I don't know, bruh.
All right. You asking where he's going?
Well, I know where he's going. I was going to tell you. You can guess.
I've been no clue. Well... Cam, is he going to Auburn?
He is going to Auburn. Oh, okay. Kalen Newton will be taking his talents.
I was like, where the... Auburn, maybe? Is he going to get, was it 160, 170 grand, whatever that was?
I don't know how that works.
Is Gene... Because Gene's not there anymore, so... You know,
Gene?
Is Gene Chizik.
Oh, Chizik, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one. Being great's really expensive.
Being great is really expensive.
Yeah, it is.
He will have 2 years of eligibility.
Something tells me that, you say Cecil...
No, Kalen.
Kalen. Something tells me Kalen was not worth on the free market as much as old Cam was. And by the way, I know that's probably pretty cool following in your brother's footsteps, but man, a lot of pressure having that name on the back of your jersey going to Auburn when Cam had one of the great single seasons in college football history, won a Heisman Trophy and a national championship.
Or it might get him the benefit of the doubt. You know, he sucks. He's like, he's Cam Newton's brother. He'll pull out of it.
Like Tua's brother just transferred. He's going to Maryland.
Yeah.
He left Alabama. And he was, same.
Michael Oxley. Got him.
Yeah. The former, he was Alabama's OC, is now the head coach at Maryland. But, it's, again, following in those footsteps. And he just wasn't going to get to be the guy. It sounds like he was buried down the depth chart. But, again, I just think that's a very hard thing to do, to follow in someone's footsteps like that when you have so much success. Where your brother does. At least with Cam, time has passed. Tua, it's like you were there at the same time.
I wonder if he'll be the starter. I can't imagine he will.
Well, I think he's got to sit out of here.
No, because he's jumping up a level.
Oh,
he can play right away.
That's right.
But I don't know who they have coming back.
Again, I'm assuming that, well, no.
Bo Nix, right?
Yeah, Auburn's got the Wonder Kid, who I don't think is very good, but. Yeah, he was a freshman.
Bo Nix was the kid, threw that pass against Oregon.
And his dad was his dad was an Auburn quarterback, and such a big deal was made. I swear to God, that college football is so bad at this. We hype up freshmen even when they suck. Bo Nix was not good.
Mm-mm.
He just wasn't. And yet, if you watch that Oregon game, they made Bo Nix out to be the second coming.
Like, the guy had one pass all game. They're like, the legend begin. The legend of what?
The moxie.
Yeah, the legend of the guy that couldn't do anything for 3.5 quarters and made one throw.
So he, last year I was looking at his stats.
Yeah.
He completed 58% of his passes. He finished with 16 touchdowns and 6 picks.
He wasn't good. He just wasn't. Yeah, we just
beat Oregon.
We wanted that hype so bad. And then it's weird when announcers continue to pump it, even when a guy's struggling. And like Herbert is legit, but you'd watch sometimes. I remember like watching like the Cal game or where Herbert will really be struggling and isn't throwing the ball well, and the announcers will not. They just won't say it. They're like, oh,
what?
We got an old man down.
Oh no.
Yeah. Is he all right? Oh.
He popped up.
Okay.
He hit the bumps.
Ooh.
There's really, really, really like high rising bumps on the pavement right there. And most bikers just ride right over that. Okay. And he did not.
Yeah, that was he's bad. Fine.
He fell straight backwards. Like the bike went up and he just fell backwards.
Ooh. So I was just like looking over your shoulder and I just saw like kind of the old, the kind of the curly old man hair. And
jean shorts too.
The whole thing just went up and forward, and he went back, and I was like, "Oh, someone's."
He thinks no one saw that.
No, we saw.
Little does he know, it's all over the radio.
Jean shorts, sleeveless T-shirt, bald on top with the curly hair,
face mask, and sunglasses on.
Just ate it. And by the way, he's hurting right now. He bounced up and is just going to try to move along, like he's going to shake that off. That hurt.
Oh, for sure.
As a bike rider,
he scraped somewhere.
There is no way that did not have an impact.
Although
on
I will
that
say
guy.
I'm a little bit confused as to how it happened, because I have seen people take these bumps that are over here and they just kind of roller coaster them.
Yeah.
He hit the first one and the bike just went backwards. Yeah. Like, what happened? How is that possible?
Maybe he was doing wheelies.
It's possible.
Maybe he's drunk.
Yeah.
Also possible.
Can you get in trouble for drunk biking?
You can get in trouble for drunk on just about anything. Remember the guy who got Dewey for the motorized bar stool.
But what about a bicycle?
Yeah, I think you can.
Is that? But that's not like a DUI, right?
No, I think it's called something else.
Because a DUI.
The guy got a DUI on the bar stool because it was motorized. That's like riding a scooter. You can't do. Now I famously got the $300 jaywalking ticket. I believe for being drunk in the street, even though I contend when you're drunk, isn't that the way that you should be getting around? I'm not on a vehicle. I'm walking. I should be allowed to walk. But I don't know how that works. If I'm drunk, being on a bike that should be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but in some states, I'm reading on internet, in some states, a bicycle is considered a vehicle. And in those states, you can get a DUI.
Get right the hell out of town.
No, I'm not going to.
Are you essing me? Cool rules, everybody.
That's according to the internet.
I can be on my little Schwinn and get the same DUI that I get for driving a 2,000-pound truck. I get the same one for being on my bicycle?
I mean, I can't imagine they're not going to... I don't think they're going to pull you over on your bike. But if something bad happens and you caused it by being a drunk butt, they'll probably give you a Dewey for your...
Okay.
Maybe the rule here is that only... bike cops can pull over DUIs on bikes to make it fair.
So I need the
can the horse cop pull me over when I'm
I'm not on a horse. Drunk
on your horse?
When I'm jogging down I-5 on old Bessie.
Got a nag out there. So let me just I want some clarity on this. Officer bros, help me out here, or the attorneys. I've had a few summer pops, okay? I'm out here on the Esplanade and I'm riding my bike. I'm not causing any problems, but clearly I'm a little wobbly, you know, and I'm not riding in a straight line. Are you telling me that an officer of the law is driving through our parking lot, which does happen from time to time, that guy can stop me, field sobriety test me, and arrest me, put me in jail for riding my bicycle at 4 or 5 miles an hour while intoxicated?
We're getting a lot of roving reporters who have been through this. They've experienced this firsthand. And I tell you, from what I'm reading here on the fan text line, which can now be reached at a new number, 503-250-1080. Yes, they will pull you over.
Oh,
and people
my God.
Are getting pulled over. Like, we've got several here. Got pulled over on my bike about 10 years ago. Had a few beers. He gave me a warning. Another one said I had a friend get a DUI on a skateboard. DU on a bike in Oregon is the same as a car. We are one of the states that basically just anything that moves you from point A to point B is
again,
a vehicle.
Hey, everybody, cool rules. Real, real cool rules, everybody. Makes total sense.
JR says, yes, they will pull you over. This one says, full disclosure, I ran a stop sign, then he warned me for that. And having beers before riding my bike at night, he warned me for that too.
Good Lord.
Not supposed to do
at
that.
At least that cop is cool for giving him a warning. My word. Hmm. It's what again?
I didn't know that.
I've had some pops and I'm trying to get from point A to point B. As long as, again, I get it. Like if I'm like weaving all over the road and I'm causing traffic problems, but I'm in the bike lane, I'm a little wobbly. Really? For heaven's sakes.
Apparently the answer to your question is yes, really.
I don't know why this is bothering me so much, but it is.
Maybe this is your big platform.
It's possible.
As a cyclist.
Yes. This is going to be the...
You'll eliminate the bicycle DUI.
Yes. Because that
if you
is,
vote for me.
That is outrageous. I am going to run on that platform. That and jaywalking. To this day, I would tell you that that ticket I got in Ybor City is probably the thing that I am more upset about than anything else. Of all the things that have ever happened to me that are you know, cause and effect, my fault, that one right there is, to this day, if I saw that cop again, I would tell him to go F himself for writing me that ticket.
I'm sure that'd go well for you.
$300. Yeah, you can hear it in my voice. I will never get, I'll be like 80. And I'll be like, yeah, back in 2003, got a jaywalking ticket. F that guy.
One AD is expecting non-restricted crowds for fall college football. We'll tell you who that is coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the club is coming up next, guys. We're almost there. We almost did it. 55
shows without sports.
We also have Andrew Nemec coming on after us tonight.
Yeah, he'll,
so
recruiting.
He will not talk about sports, too.
No, I saw Oregon got some like a big, like the fourth best tight end in the country.
Oh, tight end. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
He's on the show.
Oh, well, see, look at that.
Nemec always lands them. He always gets the guys on the show.
Yeah, Nemec's in with the, he's in with the kids.
Love that. Well, Iowa.
Loves those kids.
Let's go to,
especially the boys.
Not Ames.
High
school age boys.
Where is the
especially
University
the top
of Iowa?
Ones, the athletes, the in shape ones. He talks push ups with them.
What city is that in? Are you guys talking?
Yeah. Are you talking?
Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah. You guys talking about, I was talking about, where is the University of Iowa? What town? Iowa City. It's in Iowa City. I should know.
The University of Iowa?
Yes. Ames is Iowa State.
Yes.
And Des Moines, I don't know what the hell's in Des Moines. But in Iowa City is the University of Iowa. And that is where we find athletic director Gary Barta.
Gary's done, Karen. Gary's he's off the reservation.
He said something today that we have yet to hear. And he said that Iowa is planning to have unrestricted crowds at Kinnick Stadium, where last fall it averaged 65,557 fans for games.
Come one, come all.
They all wave up at the children's hospital,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is a great bit.
Yeah, it's right there in the background.
They built that new children's hospital there. Yeah. Iowa is also modeling for reduced capacity crowds, depending on guidelines from the state. But let me see if I can find his quote here. He says, oh no, we're playing.
Yeah.
And we're playing with non-restricted crowds. I haven't heard anybody say that.
Well,
there's no one who believes that's true.
There is this guy right here. He doesn't care. I'm telling you, man, we are reaching that point where people are just waiting for someone to just come out and say it. And maybe this is the one that finally where the dam just bursts. But that being said, the governor could come in and shoot this all down and be like, no, you're not doing this.
They could be right, too.
It's possible.
You know, I mean, you see how quickly things have shifted in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by September, we could all be dancing in the streets naked, coughing on one another.
We could just do the Arkansas model and just not test anyone. Hey, we're not testing any athletes. We don't need to test them because if we don't test them, it means they don't have it.
So he said, this guy said he speaks daily with other Big Ten athletic directors and said all of the league's members are preparing for full football seasons with crowds. even though they do recognize that no decisions about the season have been finalized.
Look, at the end of the day, this just boils down to athletic directors know they're staring down a barrel, and they need money, and they need butts and seats, and they will do everything they can, even if it's not backed by science, or if it's shunned or scorned by a lot of people. They know that they'll get enough people there around Iowa City that are going to come to games and not care and roll the dice.
So here's a question.
Well, then the Portland, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague today. I don't know what school district was, but they just canceled sports for next year. Here locally.
For the fall, you mean?
Yeah. For next year.
21?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess for the coming.
So fall.
Yeah, for fall.
Who?
Well, I think he's saying the entire school year.
Yeah.
So fall winter, and spring. Yes.
Holy crap.
I'll look it up.
Seems aggressive.
I was listening to Dirt and Sprague, and Swag was talking about this. I'll go see if I can pull this up.
Hey, I'll need that hot nugget.
Yeah.
Thank you. The question I have would be, what if you have some stadiums who are full and other stadiums that aren't? You know, like, does Iowa, how much of an advantage do you think it is for Iowa to play in front of a full stadium at home when they go to on the road to Michigan State and it's like 25% capacity or no fans?
It's a huge deal, you know, but this is going to be we've heard this from the very beginning that it is not going to be fair and equitable this year. There's going to be advantages across the board, and it might have been Bowlesby. One of the athletic, and he's the Big 12 commissioner. One of them just said that, that it's not fair. He said already that there is he basically alluded to the fact that competitive balance across college football is a bit of a farce, and we all know that, right? Ohio State and Alabama are different than Iowa State and Rutgers. And he just kind of pointed that out, and he said it's only going to continue that way, and we wish it wasn't. But if you can put kids in the stadium, if you can, you know, whatever advantage you can get in order to save your program and to move it along, you're going to. You're not going to get a lot of schools and certainly conferences that are going to be willing to dial back their participation simply for the benefit of other schools and other conferences. It isn't going to happen.
So that was Centralia, the Centralia School District.
Okay.
Their board voted yesterday to cut all sports programs next school year, along with other programs, citing a projected $12 million budget deficit caused by failure of its levy in the COVID-19 crisis.
Okay, so locally,
so they're just saying,
not necessarily locally, but kind of sort of
up by five there.
Yeah,
they're just saying we just can't afford it. Done. Wow, that sucks.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway, what was I saying? Oh, what somebody was pontificating. They asked this question on the golf course the other day. It's a good question. How do you quantify home field advantage without fans? Like, you know, because in Vegas, though, it's like 3 points. Mm-hmm. You know. That usually in Vegas, what they do is if the game is even between two teams, they'll give the home team a 3-point advantage because they're playing at home. What happens to home field advantage if there are no fans or if it's like 25% capacity?
Certainly is reduced.
What does that do to momentum? You know how teams kind of get momentum and the fans get going, and I wonder what that does to that.
Well, and you get rid of the crowd noise. So, you know, you can audible easier and you don't have to worry about, you know, silent counts and all that. I mean, it makes a difference. There's still an element to playing at home and being in your comfort zone, but without, especially raucous environments, like, no offense, but Rutgers, it doesn't matter whether you have fans there or not. That's not a home field advantage. But for places that are Ohio State or even Autzen Stadium or up at Husky Stadium, absolutely.
But like, is Autzen, okay, so Oregon is good at Autzen.
Yes.
And they feed off the crowd. The crowd's great. If there's no crowd, how much does that diminish?
I'll tell you what.
I'll
tell you what. If I'm Oregon and the season goes off as planned, but without fans, I'm a lot more nervous about North Dakota State coming in.
Ooh.
Way, way more nervous about that game than I would be if you had the home crowd. Because especially when you being an athlete and being on the road, a lot of it is just, it's a comfort level. And there is still an advantage in sleeping in your own bed and not having to deal with travel and have your schedule thrown off. Athletes are creatures of habit. And it's always better to be able to just stick at home and have everything comfortable. You always feel better at home. But when you go into a hostile environment, especially as an underdog, and you're North Dakota State, and they've been in big games, and so, you know, they're used to it, but they don't play in front of 65,000 people every single game. And they certainly don't play in front of a crowd like Oregon's and the noise level and all that and the energy being fed off of it. And you go into a place sometimes and you can suck the air out of it as a visiting team. You can just feel it. And you don't have to do that because the air's already been sucked out because there's no fans. I absolutely think that makes a huge difference when you're dealing with an underdog situation like North Dakota State. 100%.
All right. Interesting. The club is coming up next. Seven things that could soon disappear forever. 5:58 on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.